The tension finally broke as we watched the sailors rushing about, casting off hawsers and lines, preparing the ship for the open sea. The President Polk moved on a zigzag course toward a destination unknown to those of us sweltering in her bowels. Our daily routine was dull, even for those like myself, who rather enjoyed being aboard a ship. We rolled out of our racks each morning about sunrise. Brushing my teeth and shaving with non-lathering shaving cream was my morning toilet. Each day, an officer, or NCO, led us through an exercise period of calisthenics, and we could always count on a rifle inspection. Other than that, we had practically no duties. Every few days, we had abandoned ship drills, which helped offset the boredom, and the ship's crew conducted gun drills frequently. The first time they held target practice with live ammunition was exciting to watch. Yellow balloons were released from the bridge. As they were caught by the wind, the gunners opened fire upon order from the fire control officer. The rapid-fire 20mm and 40mm anti-aircraft guns seemed to do an effective job. But to some of us Marines, the 3-inch and 5-inch cannons didn't accomplish much, other than hurt our ears. Considering the number of balloons that escaped, we felt the gun crews should have practiced more. This was probably because none of us had ever had any experience with anti-aircraft guns and didn't realize what a difficult type of gunnery was involved. Beyond some letter writing and a lot of conversation, so-called bull sessions, we spent much of our time waiting in chow lines strung along gangways and passages leading to the ship's galley. Chow was an unforgettable experience. After the inevitable wait in line, I entered the hatch leading to the galley and was met with a blast of hot air laden with a new set of odors, differing only slightly from the typical troop compartment aroma. To the same basic ingredients, paint, grease, tobacco, and sweat, were added the smells of rancid cooking and something of a bakery. It was enough to turn a civilian's stomach inside out. But we rapidly and necessarily adjusted. We moved along the cafeteria-style line and indicated to sweating Navy messmen what foods we wanted served onto shining compartmentalized steel trays. The messmen wore skivvy shirts and were tattooed profusely on their arms. They all mopped the sweat from their faces constantly. Amid the roar of ventilators, we ate, standing at long folding tables. Everything was hot to the touch, but quite clean. A sailor told me that the tables had been used as operating tables for Marine casualties that the ship took on during one of the earlier Pacific campaigns. That gave me a strange feeling in the pit of my stomach every time I went to chow on the President Polk.